for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Monday. Hopefully you had a nice weekend. Welcome to the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano, and I have the great privilege of being with you and being for the next hour alongside a beautiful young woman celebrating her birthday today, the one and only Juliet Huddy.
Oh, you're so sweet. You give the best intros ever. Thank you, Frankie. It is going to be a lovely day today. It is going to be a lovely day today from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center because we'll have about 81 degrees for a high. So it's going to be nice and warm, but not too warm. We'll have sun, a little bit of clouds, and very low humidity. So it really will be beautiful out. Tonight we're going to get down to about 65. Tomorrow, 76 degrees, but we're going to see some thunderstorms. We'll have some rain showers in the morning with quote unquote numerous thunderstorms developing in the afternoon, unfortunately. But then it looks like it's going to clear up by Tuesday night, and we'll get into Wednesday feeling definitely like fall. 69 degrees, lots of sun, very low humidity. It's going to be a very, very, very nice couple of days.
Well, that's certainly good news. I am looking forward to some good fall weather, and I think a lot of other people are too.
I think we're going to see it because I'm looking at the rest of the week into the weekend. It looks like it's 69s pretty much for the rest of the week after Wednesday, and then we're going to get maybe up into the low 70s and then back into the 60s. So, yeah, we're finally feeling the fall temperatures.
The House will begin debating a bipartisan infrastructure bill today. Speaker Nancy Pelosi alerted lawmakers she was delaying the vote to Thursday. She told ABC News she believes the measure will pass this week, but made it clear she'll never bring a bill to the floor that doesn't have the votes. The bill already passed the Senate. It aims to revitalize the nation's roads, bridges, ports, and rail. So it should be a big week on Capitol Hill.
Crazy story out of a Queens apartment building. A man was shot 7 times in an elevator. Bassiana Lawrence is his name, 27 years old. He was killed in this elevator on Beach Street in Far Rockaway. At about 4:30 yesterday, he was taken to St. John's Episcopal Hospital and pronounced dead. Police are now looking for 2 male suspects, and they have not made any arrests, at least according to the police, by last night. Investigators at the scene recovered several shell casings and a gun.
New York is declaring a state of emergency due to today's COVID vaccine mandate. All hospital and nursing home workers risk losing their jobs if they don't have at least 1 shot. This is expected to create staffing shortages, but Governor Kathy Hochul says the declaration will allow the National Guard and out-of-state medical workers to fill in. As for teachers in the city, a court ruling blocks schools from enforcing that mandate for now.
And speaking of mandates, you have to show proof of vaccine to go inside a city restaurant, mall, and things like that. Out on Staten Island, in your neck of the woods, Frankie, I don't know if you know any of these folks, but there are some pictures on the New York Post. About 20 people stormed the Staten Island Mall and went into the food court to sit down, chanting slogans like USA and F Joe Biden. The protesters said that they're going to eat. That's what they're here to do, and that's what they're going to do. The vaccine mandate requires, obviously, New Yorkers who want to dine inside at restaurants and malls and go to gyms and attend indoor concerts and things like that to show proof that they've gotten at least one of their shots. These folks not happy with that.
Clearly. I will take a look at those folks that were at the Staten Island.
Well, one of them has a nice wife beater T-shirt saying Trump won in a nice, pretty orange color.
Peach color. I hope it's not somebody I know, but I will review it and see what happens. All right. In just a minute, we're going to go to traffic and transit on the 7s with Brandy Scott, who's in for Joe Nolan today. Still to come, we'll have the Jet Set Juliet travel report. We have sports with Matt Sapienza, more news with Deb Valentine, and I'll bring you the latest of what you can expect from Wall Street in terms of the business a little bit later on. But why don't we get started with traffic and transit on the 7s with the one and only Brandy Scott. Good morning, Brandy. It's nice to have you with us again. Well, I guess some feelings are not exactly mutual.
Oh, do we have Brandy or no?
We Apparently not. But take our word for it. The traffic is bad out there, depending on where you're
coming
from.
Expect the worst.
Exactly. everybody should allow extra time. That's what we're recommending. All right. Let me do one quick story here, while we get the traffic situation figured out. The governor of Texas is saying that the only thing stopping illegal immigration in the state is orders that he issued. Greg Abbott told Fox News he has no choice but to protect Texans, claiming it's not being done on the federal level. He again blamed President Biden for the border surge, specifically the Haitian migrants who camped out in the city of Del Rio after crossing the Rio Grande River. He also defended the actions of Border Patrol agents.
This is a sad story. A body of a 34-year-old man was found on a second-floor landing at a Midtown hotel on Sunday. And, according to police sources, they told the Post he may have jumped up to 2 days earlier. I guess he leaped from the 25th-floor balcony of the Gotham Hotel on East 46th Street, which is over in the Diamond District. But his remains were found at 8 a.m. yesterday. Police think he may have jumped maybe a day or two before because the area where he landed on the second floor isn't accessible to the public. And clearly he was in his hotel room. He was not immediately, his identity was not immediately released.
Mm. All right. We are going to hold off on traffic for now. Stay tuned for that. Those of you that are wondering about the traffic, come back at 5:17.
Yeah, just again, expect the worst. Give yourself extra
exactly.
time.
Right. SpaceX says demand is growing to send more private astronauts into orbit. A crew of four spent 3 days circling Earth earlier this month. The flight was such a success, the company may expand its fleet of reusable Dragon spaceships. As of now, each one is only certified for 5 flights each. SpaceX has 4 more missions to the International Space Station under contract with NASA, along with 4 carrying a private crew. And in similar space news, it was announced on Friday that the world's greatest actor, William Shatner, at 90 years old, will be going to space next month, not as part of a SpaceX expedition, but as part of Jeff Bezos's Blue Origin expedition.
That is just so cool. I mean, really.
Totally.
Can you imagine? He never thought in a million years back when he was shooting Star Trek that he would end up going into space, actually. That is just awesome. Frank, I feel like you would know the inside scoop here. Apparently, when Curtis Lee showed up to judge the Feast of San Gennaro's meatball eating contest, he was turned away, basically. He was told he was too political to appear on stage. What is the story with this?
Well, so I haven't spoken with Curtis about this particular incident, but I think it's a combination of a few things here. One, Curtis is right now a politician.
Right.
So, I mean, by having somebody that's in a high profile race this year act as a judge for the contest, it does make the contest a little bit political. Now, what Curtis is saying, though, is that he was invited as a guest judge. Then he was told, hey, not for nothing, Sliwa, it's just too political. Other politicians had to be up here on the stage for you to be on the stage. So Curtis is making it out as if de Blasio had a hand in this. I don't know if that's true.
Guessing probably not.
Yeah. I don't know why they would make the case. You know, Curtis has had an interesting history with this particular feast. Some of his remarks about organized crime figures at times has hit a little too close to home with some of the organizers.
Well, he also blamed the Gambino crime family.
Yes.
Or so they could behind.
I'm skeptical, but sometimes, sometimes the explanation they give that he's a politician, sometimes that's a reasonable one. But we'll see.
The question is, when was he asked to be
right.
part of this?
That is a good question. Yes, we'll have to do a follow up on this one.
Oh, lordy, lordy. All right. Well, we have some other news to talk about. Speaking of Donald Trump, as we were a few minutes ago, apparently the former president could face multiple criminal charges because of that famous phone call to Georgia officials asking them to find 11,780 votes to help him overturn the 2020 election. According to a think tank, the Brookings Institution, which is a fairly well-respected one, they found that Trump and his allies, including Rudy Giuliani, attempted to change the lawful outcome of the election. And they said that these charges that could be pending could include solicitation to commit election fraud, intentional interference with performance of election duties, racketeering, other violations. So Georgia is currently in the middle of a 7-month long investigation into that call with the head of the Georgia official Raffensperger. And Trump, of course, denies all claims of wrongdoing.
Yeah, and President Trump was very, very vocally critical of Republican Georgia Governor Brian Kemp in his rally on Saturday evening. It doesn't appear to be something that he's going to let drop anytime soon. Pop star Lizzo is condemning institutional racism. During her Global Citizen Live performance over the weekend, she spoke about the event location in New York City's Central Park. She said the residents of Seneca Village, who were primarily black, were forced out of their homes in 1857 to make room for the park. Lizzo said it's time to talk about things to build a better future. Other stars who performed included Jennifer Lopez and Shawn Mendes.
Did you watch any of that?
I didn't. No, I didn't. I had kind of a busy weekend.
That's very true. By the way, how was Rachel's party?
Good.
Baby shower.
Good. A lot of stuff I had to carry, and I think most people had a good time. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, Harry and Meghan, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, have arrived back in California on their private jet after their VIP extravaganza here in New York City. There was a lot of criticism about their appearance here. I don't understand why. This was my whole rant on Saturday. There is some question as to where, well, two questions, actually. The prince was seen wearing a mystery wire. It was kind of coming out of his clothes. And there was a cameraman with them. And the question is, were they secretly filming some sort of series or some sort of show or documentary for Netflix? Because they do have a huge, massive deal with Netflix. Yeah. The other question is, why was she wearing these winter coats? It was very strange. And I have to tell you, I'm starting to wonder if she's pregnant again.
Interesting. Wow.
Yes. Nope. I've not seen anybody mention this, but I will say there was just one shot of her where she looked a little round in the tummy area. Now, it might have been because she was wearing a blousy dress. So maybe, I don't know, but I'm saying I'm going to go with she's pregnant.
Hmm.
Yep.
Well, you heard it here first.
Mark me.
5:15. Let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank, and good morning, everybody. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Younghoe Koo kicked a 40-yard field goal on the final play, and the Atlanta Falcons beat the Giants 17-14 to give coach Arthur Smith his first NFL win Sunday. It marked the second straight week the Giants lost on the final play of the game. Matt Ryan engineered two late drives and threw two touchdowns to rally the Falcons. It spoiled the day when the Giants retired the jersey of two-time Super Bowl MVP Eli Manning.
Wow.
Also for the Jets, the Denver Broncos improved to 3-0 for the first time since 2016. They creamed the Jets with a 26-0 shutout yesterday as well. The Broncos sacked rookie Zach Wilson 5 times and intercepted him 2 times. They also forced the Jets to turn the ball over on downs 2 times. The victory could prove costly for the Broncos, however. Wide receiver KJ Hamler left in the first half with a knee injury, and Denver lost both of its starting guards to injuries after halftime. Dalton Risner left with a foot injury, and Graham Glasgow left with a knee injury. To baseball now, the Brewers clinched their second NL Central title in 4 years, beating the sloppy Mets 8-4 behind Willie Adames' 2-run homer and 3 RBIs. A day after New York was eliminated from postseason contention, the Mets lost for the 10th time in 11 games and were assured of a losing season for the 4th time in 5 years. And finally, the only victory, Aaron Judge doubled in the go-ahead runs to lead the Yankees to a 6-3 victory and a wild-card flipping 3-game sweep over the Red Sox. Giancarlo Stanton followed with a 2-run homer over the Green Monster and out of the ballpark to give the Yankees their 6th straight victory. With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's WABC Sports. Back to you guys.
All right, 5:17. We have been rejoined by the traffic expert filling in for Joe Nolan this morning, the one and only Brandy Scott. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning. How are you, Frank?
We're doing great. Even better. Yay. Now that we can hear you. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. It was nice.
Good. Yeah. Well, we got some nice weather, didn't we?
Yeah. I went to the shore for the day on Saturday, and then I spent some time with Grandma on Sunday. So
it was a great weekend.
That's lovely. Yeah. Well, you know, too bad you weren't around to tell us how crazy the traffic was down by the IKEA where everybody was gathering in Red Hook to go to the Stephen Siller Tunnel to Towers Foundation walk. It was crazy down there.
It was a very, very, very busy day. Absolutely.
Yes, all right. Well, how are the roads looking now, Brandy?
Right now, not too bad. We've got some minor slowdowns on 8095 heading over to the inbound George. Collision just picked up in the express lanes by exit 72 in Fort Lee. After that, you're problem-free heading into both the upper and lower deck tolls. Looking good so far inbound at the Lincoln and Holland tunnels. BQE eastbound, just a little bit slow heading over to Cadman Plaza. We do have that rehab project. You're down to one lane. Brooklyn Bridge, looking good, getting across the East River, moving into Brooklyn. We do have some road work inbound at the Verrazano on the lower level, taking out two lanes, not really causing a big delay so far, and mass transit is on or close. This report is sponsored by Ensure Max Protein. Try great tasting Ensure Max Protein with 30 grams of protein, 1 gram of sugar, and nutrients to support immune health. More details are available at Ensure.com. I'm Brandy Scott on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandy. We'll check back with you in a little bit. Frank, what do we have coming up in BizBuzz?
Well, I'll tell you what the stock market did on Friday and what is expected today. But a lot of discussion over this spending bill in Washington and what it means for the economy, and some interesting commentary from Elon Musk, which I'll tell you about as well.
Always interesting from Elon Musk. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, the best cities in the world list is out. Did we make it? Did New York City make it? Did any American cities make it? I'll tell you coming up at 5:40.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
5:21, 63 degrees. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano. Here's what's happening on Wall Street. The Wall Street is mostly higher to end a volatile week last week. China's crackdown on cryptocurrency and the prospect of a government shutdown weighed on markets, although all three major indexes briefly turned green late in the session. Bitcoin fell 5% after China moved to ban cryptocurrencies. At the closing bell, the Dow rose 33 points. The S&P 500 gained 6, and the NASDAQ lost 4 points. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says President Biden's agenda of building back better has the support of most Democrats in Congress. Speaking on ABC's This Week, the California Democrat said lawmakers expect to make progress on the infrastructure bill this week with the hope of passing it. Pelosi said she would never bring a bill of the hope to the floor that didn't have the votes to pass. And finally, Elon Musk says Tesla will continue to invest in China. The electric automaker CEO, speaking at a Chinese-hosted World Internet Conference, praised China as a global leader in digitalization. Musk is looking to continue to make inroads in China after recalls and some negative press there. Tesla broke ground on a major factory in Shanghai in 2019. Juliet?
Thank you very much. FedEx has ripped into one of their own drivers. Why? Well, he posted a TikTok clip claiming that he won't deliver to houses with flags supporting Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, or Black Lives Matter. His name is Vincent Paterno, 39 years old. He is seen wearing his FedEx uniform in a van as he goes on a profanity-laden rant. FedEx says they are appalled by the video. They said it doesn't reflect the views of the company, and it actually amassed about 74,000 views and more than 3,000 comments. He has since left his job, not surprisingly. What is wrong with people? Does he not think he's going to get caught?
Yeah, that's what I was just trying to figure out. It's crazy. Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid is recovering after a trip to the hospital. He was taken by ambulance following yesterday's 30-24 loss at home to the Los Angeles Chargers. According to ESPN, Reid started feeling sick on the sidelines and was reportedly treated for dehydration. He's expected to be fine.
SUNY Chancellor Jim Malatras has sent off a memo to the heads of state university-run hospitals telling them that they better notify their employees that if those employees refuse to get the COVID vaccine by today, they'll be slapped with immediate suspension and pending termination. This move comes after the state health department issued an emergency COVID vaccine mandate last month, which requires workers in healthcare facilities in New York to receive at least a first shot by today, or they risk being fired unless they have some sort of medical exemption. This is just, I mean, we were talking with some people who work at different hospitals yesterday, and they were saying this is not good. There are a lot of people who are not getting their shots that work in the healthcare industry that are going to be jobless, at least in New York.
Harvard Business School has ordered first-year MBA students into remote learning this week. The move was announced after an active cluster of coronavirus was linked to the business school. Harvard officials are hopeful that a week of remote learning will stop the cluster from getting any worse. Contact tracing indicates that the virus has been spreading from numerous unmasked indoor events, not in classrooms or academic settings.
Well, this is a crazy story. A gunman was arrested for allegedly opening fire yesterday at an apartment door inside the same building that houses the off-Broadway theater Soho Playhouse. So apparently it's a private apartment in the same building. But the New York Post reporting the suspect knocked on the second floor apartment door. 39-year-old man opened it. This happened about 12:20 p.m., so just like around lunchtime. When the person who's living inside this apartment opens the door and sees a man pointing a gun, he slammed the door, and thankfully he did not get shot. The suspect shot a bunch of rounds into the door. The suspect called police and helped authorities track down this alleged shooter outside of Washington Square Park. He was arrested and charges against him are pending as of last night. What a weird story.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, what?
Undocumented immigrants in New York impacted by remnants of Hurricane Ida are now eligible for financial relief. Governor Kathy Hochul says $27 million has been set aside for these individuals in counties that are designated in the Presidential Major Disaster Declaration, which includes four of the five New York City boroughs. The funding will be distributed as grants through an established community group. Several organizations in New York City will help those undocumented people make a claim.
Some strange news coming out of Yahoo News. Apparently, the CIA wanted to assassinate Julian Assange after WikiLeaks published sensitive hacking tools and even plotted to shoot plane tires if Julian Assange tried to flee the Ecuadorian embassy to go to the Russian embassy back in 2017. Apparently, CIA officials under the Trump administration had deliberated killing Assange, according to this report, citing former officials. CIA Director Mike Pompeo led the crusade, apparently, after WikiLeaks began publishing sensitive information in the Vault 7 documents. And then allegedly, whatever you want to say, Pompeo's plan intensified later that year when the government, when we heard maybe some whiffs that Assange might escape to Russia, again, from Ecuador. So apparently the CIA trying to justify their plans by classifying WikiLeaks as a non-state hostile intelligence service.
Well, 527, someone who is rarely hostile, is the person responsible for traffic and transit
heard.
On the sevens, the one and only Brandy Scott. Brandy, what are you doing to commemorate Juliet's birthday today? Anything?
I wasn't aware. I apologize, but happy birthday.
Thank you, darling. Thank you very much. Is it really happy, though, once you have a five in front of your... I don't know.
How are the roads looking, Brandy?
Well, the thruway northbound, a little bit slow heading over to exit 14. We've got a collision off to the shoulder by Airmount Road. Minor delays on the LIE westbound approaching Utopia Parkway. After that, just a little bit sluggish heading to Queens Boulevard. BQE eastbound, that's a stop and go ride approaching Atlantic Avenue from the Prospect on the inbound Gowanus. No issues so far across the Hudson River at the George Lincoln and Holland. An alternate side in is effect today. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. Find the right hire right now with Indeed. They help you screen and interview quality candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Brandi Scott on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandi. We'll check back with you in a little bit. Coming up, we have on this day, September 27th. This is actually, we had a lot of really good stuff today. I have to tell you, not just because it's my birthday, but because there's a lot of really cool stuff that I did not know happened on my birthday. So we're going to talk about that. Also in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, the best cities in the world list is out, and I'm going to tell you why they have been chosen. And we've got so much more, Frank. Anything else that you'd like to promote?
Well, the jury deliberations resuming in the R. Kelly trial. I'll tell you what you can expect in that case today. And today is actually a very important day for Juliet and me, and has nothing to do with your birth. I'll tell folks about it in just a bit.
Good morning, I'm Deborah Valentine. Well, the U.S. Senate today will hold a test vote on funding to keep the government running. Also, the House plans to vote today on President Joe Biden's $1 trillion infrastructure bill, which Democrats are working to trim. Center-left Democrats have won their biggest share of the vote in Germany's national election, narrowly beating outgoing Chancellor Angela Merkel's center-right union bloc. The closely fought race will determine who succeeds Merkel. New York's Governor Kathy Hochul yesterday announced $27 million in federal aid. It's for undocumented victims of flooding and other storm-related damage. November 26 is the deadline to apply for assistance from FEMA. Federal authorities have taken DNA evidence from the Florida residence of Brian Laundrie, the fiancé of Gabby Petito. Petito's death, of course, ruled a homicide. Laundrie remains missing as of this morning. A memorial was held for the Blue Point native on Sunday. Her father spoke during that. Joseph Petito.
Be inspired by the way she treated people. All people. Love knows no gender. Love knows no bounds. She didn't care. She genuinely loved people.
Petito's remains found at Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming. Services were held at Maloney's funeral home in Holbrook. A 54-year-old pedestrian critically hurt after being struck by a motor vehicle in Medford Saturday night on Route 112. The 22-year-old driver not hurt. His vehicle was impounded for a safety check. And Tony Awards held in New York City last night. Moulin Rouge came up big, winning 10 Tonys. That's your 77-second WABC News update. I'm Deborah Valentine.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much, Felix. We have a great On This Day day today, September 27th. Frank, I'd like to start with September 27th on this day, 1066. I almost feel as old as 1066. William the Conqueror's troops set sail from Normandy for their conquest of England. It's a big day.
Absolutely.
Big day in history.
On this day in 1919, the Democratic National Committee voted to admit women.
Oh, how nice of him. On this day in 1540, the Society of Jesus, a.k.a. the Jesuits, was founded by Ignatius Loyola, who was confirmed by Pope Paul III in Rome.
On this day in 1920, the eight Chicago White Sox were charged in relation to the Black Sox scandal, where players were accused of trying to fix the 1919 World Series.
On this day, September 27, 1779, John Adams negotiates the Revolutionary War peace terms with Great Britain. Wow.
On this day in 1954, The Tonight Show debuted on NBC.
My goodness.
The show was hosted by comedian Steve Allen.
Wow. On this day, September 27th, 1822, the French scholar Jean-François Champollion announces he has deciphered Egyptian hieroglyphics using the Rosetta Stone.
On this day in 1964, the Warren Commission issued their report on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. The report concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald had acted alone in the November 1963 assassination.
I heard Greg Kelly talking to you about the
Kennedy. You know, he studied
so
it
random
pretty closely. And, you know, he and I have maybe some differing views, but I'm going to invite him on the radio to chat about it sometime soon.
It was so funny because he just walks up and says hello and immediately launches into this, what do you think about Kennedy?
It's true. It's true.
He is a quirky guy.
That's for sure.
On this day, September 27th, 1864, Jesse James's gang surprised a train. They attacked it. 150 people were killed. And by the way, he was killed by a member of his own gang for reward money.
In 2011, on this day, opening statements began in the trial for Michael Jackson's doctor, Conrad Murray. The proceedings began with prosecutors showing a picture of the singer laying lifeless on a hospital gurney. Prosecutors also played an audio recording of Jackson sounding incoherent in a drugged state.
On this day, September 27th, 1905, the physics journal Annalen der Physik publishes Albert Einstein's paper, Does the Inertia of a Body Depend on Its Energy Content? Introducing the equation E equals MC squared.
Oh.
Big day this September 27th.
And a big day it was in 2017 when Hugh Hefner died at the age of 91. The Playboy founder passed away from natural causes at the Playboy Mansion near Beverly Hills, California.
And on this day, finally, in 1908, Henry Ford's first Model T leaves the Piquette plant in Detroit, Michigan.
And today is actually, believe it or not, Morning Show Hosts Day.
Are you serious?
I am serious. A day to recognize the people who get up in the middle of the night so they can bring America the day's first helping of news, weather, and sports. NBC created the first network morning news program with the Today Show back in 1952. The CBS Morning News debuted in 1963, and ABC's Good Morning America got in the game in 1975. Cable news channels CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC are now major players in the morning TV game as well.
That is really interesting.
Enjoy.
I had no idea there was such a day.
Yeah, you're going to make out like crazy in terms of presents today.
Jeez,
Julia.
I mean, yeah, just send them to my house. It's just easier than bringing them to the station. Also, happy birthday to Gwyneth Paltrow and Avril Lavigne, because we share birthdays. You know,
very nice. Like,
yeah, not that I know them. Well, that's it for my on this day. Do you have any more on this day?
No, I had moved on.
Okay, good.
To what's
all
happening
right
now.
Well, it was on this day. I mean, this day is the morning
right
show host day.
So that's true.
Technically, we were still on this day. Okay, but I have moved on as well. Should we go to traffic?
Well, let me tell you first what's happening in the R. Kelly trial. And because I know Brandi Scott is just as riveted as everybody else is. Jury deliberations are resuming today in R&B singer R. Kelly's federal racketeering trial here in New York. The panel began deliberating on Friday following a six-week trial. Kelly was indicted in 2019 on racketeering charges, accusing him of recruiting women and underage girls for sex. The R&B singer faces decades in prison if convicted on the main racketeering charge. The trial featured dozens of witnesses, including the testimony of a number of alleged victims who claim that Kelly manipulated and controlled them and forced them to have sex with him and others.
Ugh, lordy. On that lovely note, let's head over to traffic on this segment with Brandi Scott. Hi, Brandi.
Hey there. We've got a little bit of volume on the LIE westbound now. Some heavy slowdowns moving between the Grand Central and Queens Boulevard. Delays are building on the BQE eastbound heading over to Cadman Plaza. It's a stop-and-go ride on the inbound Gowanus from 38th Street. Roadwork has been picked up at the inbound Verrazano. All lanes are back open on the lower deck moving into Brooklyn. Inbound George might run you about 5 minutes for the upper deck into the tolls. Lower level's still in great shape. You've got no big delays inbound at the Lincoln and Holland tunnels, and mass transit is on or close. I'm Brandi Scott on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Wall Street is mostly higher and a volatile week. On Friday, the NASDAQ lost 4 points, but the Dow Jones rose 33. The S&P 500 gained 6. Not great news for Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in general. Bitcoin fell 5% after China moved to ban cryptocurrencies. We'll see what happens going forward there. Durable goods orders for August come out this morning, and experts see orders bouncing back. Analysts forecast a 0.4% increase after durable goods orders slipped 0.1% in July. And finally, the Powerball jackpot just keeps on growing. Listen to this. There were no winning tickets sold with all six numbers in Saturday night's drawing. That means today's jackpot for Powerball will be worth $545 million.
Ooh. Yes. We got to get on that, Frankie.
I'm buying a ticket. I hope you will, too.
I know what I'm doing on the drive home.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. All right, time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Just a couple little things before we get into the good stuff. On Thursday, two Hawaiian Airlines flights returned to the Honolulu airport because of unruly passenger incidents. That same day, at a congressional hearing on in-flight incidents, the FAA said that rates of unruly passengers on board commercial flights have dropped 50% since early 2021. They're still more than double what they were at the end of 2020. One of the things that's happening now is some of these airlines are starting to give self-defense courses. I mean, how pathetic is this? Like, it's just ridiculous. But the TSA restarted this program in June, and it has hosted more than 50 classes around the country so far. Basically, it's just a four-hour voluntary training course in self-defense, just in case, you know, you have some bozo on the plane that decides he's going to make life, living hell for the flight attendants and for everybody else on the plane. Let's move on to the happy stuff. Every year, bestcities.org comes out with their list of the best cities in the world. They break it down by things like the weather, what are each city's neighborhoods like, what are their landmarks like, airports, attractions like museums, pro sports teams, live music venues, restaurants, diversity, is it easy to get a job, what kind of jobs, and of course, affordability, and whether it's the type of city others want to visit. So today we're going to start with a three-part series on the best cities in the world, starting from number 15, which happens to be in our backyard, San Francisco. The reason it topped at 15 was because it has excellent universities. It obviously is ground zero for tech, and it also has one of the most, it is one of the most searched cities in the world, which means it's a place a lot of strangers want to visit. Number 14 on the list is Abu Dhabi. That's in the United Arab Emirates. I believe it's the capital. This is a city with a lot of foreign residents, and it's also a city that has really, really jumped up in the last several years. I'd say the last decade, but particularly the last 5 years. It's become a real tourist mecca. 80% of its residents are foreigners and expats, which is interesting. It handles that actually with aplomb. There's a sense, according to the folks that live there that are foreign, that you belong even if you are an outsider. And the fact that the city is becoming one of these big hotspots for arts, which is interesting, may have something to do with that. Given the area in which it sits, it's much more open-minded than many of its neighbors. Speaking of foreign, it also has a lot of unique attractions like sandboarding on desert dunes or exploring ancient mosques. So it's number 14 on the list, Abu Dhabi. Number 13 is Chicago. I mean, the architecture is famous. It's considered a livable city. It's such a great city. I love Chicago. I mean, the weather is kind of lame during the winter, but other than that, it's pretty nice. The exception of certain pockets, of course, but the thing that makes Chicago really stand out is it's just endless attractions. I mean, whether it's art museums or bars or sports or music, it's just got a ton of personality. And I definitely would say its restaurants are some of the best in the world. The next on the list is Doha, Qatar, which comes in at number 12. What I'm finding interesting is cities in the Middle East are starting to become a bit more liberal to a degree, and Doha is a place with a huge foreign population, and all of those cultures are taken into account more and more these days. It's a very wealthy country, and the city itself is no exception. I mean, it's just dripping with dollars. Well, whatever they use over there. There's a lot of prosperity and an increasing attention to the arts and culture. Number 11 is one of my favorite places on the planet. It's Rome. It's done such a great job of keeping its historical integrity. You're literally living and walking and eating and drinking among ruins. Its neighborhoods are all vibrant. They're all very welcoming to tourists. Obviously, the food is amazing. And it's really hard to find a city that's literally one giant outdoor museum. It's hard not to find a city that's like a giant outdoor museum, nearly perfect. I mean, it's just, I can't say anything negative about about Rome, except that I do find a lot of Americans who go over there are a little surprised at how city-like it is. But that's because they're probably in the wrong areas. You have to kind of get out into the neighborhoods, into the Piazza Navona area and stuff like that, in Trastevere area. And then you'll find out it's just, it is just wonderful. And that is your Jet Set Juliet travel update for
all
today.
Right.
Ending a little early today.
Okay. Well, hey, it's quality, not quantity.
That's right.
President Biden said, quote, "I'll be darned," when he learned the results of Germany's election yesterday. Biden had spent the weekend at Camp David and hadn't heard the projected results until a reporter told him when he got back to Washington. Biden said of the winning Social Democratic Party, "They're solid." That's a quote. "Early results give the center-left SPD the biggest share of the vote ahead of retiring Chancellor Angela Merkel's right-leaning bloc. It could take weeks or months for the SPD to put together a coalition government, but it does appear they have the most seats."
What? That's interesting. Does that surprise you? Have you been watching much of this?
Yeah, I mean, it does and it doesn't. I mean, Angela Merkel had been in power so long that, you know, maybe you figure people were ready for a change. Maybe that's what that about. Or maybe a lot of the electoral success of her party, the Christian Democratic Party, was due less to their policies and more towards people who like her style or her personality.
See, I love the fact that I ask you a question, even if it's about international politics, and you're always right on there, Frank.
Oh, well, thank
Good
you.
Good for you. There is a safety expert who is speaking out about this train derailment, the Amtrak train derailment, which killed three people and injured roughly 50 people. This is a safety expert, and he's also a former Amtrak conductor. He says that this could have been caused by badly maintained tracks or potentially a driver slamming on the brakes to avoid running a stop signal. This happened in Montana, and it really is just a horrible situation. An investigation into the accident could take up to 2 years, according to this gentleman. He said during which the employees of the train will be taken out of service. So, this is just unbelievable to even see that this happens these days. But Amtrak's Empire Builder 727 derailed yesterday near Joplin, Montana, around 4 o'clock. Mountain time, killing three passengers, injuring well over 50 people. Amtrak confirmed that the 8 cars derailed with passengers, and 2 have completely detached from the train. There were 146 passengers and 13 crew on board.
Actress Lois Smith is making Tony Awards history. The New York Times reporting on Sunday, the 90-year-old became the oldest person to win a Tony Award. She took home a trophy for Best Actress in a Featured Role in a Play for her character, Margaret, in The Inheritance. During her acceptance speech, she said she loves the process of live theater.
Oh, yes, so do I. Speaking of processes, let's go over to the sports desk so Matt can process our sports news today.
Not a good week, Juliet. Here's what's going on. Younghoe Koo kicked a 40-yard field goal on the final play, and the Atlanta Falcons beat the New York Giants 17-14 to give coach Arthur Smith his first NFL win on Sunday. It marked the second straight week that the Giants lost on the final play of the game. Matt Ryan engineered two late drives and threw two touchdowns to rally the Falcons. It spoiled the day when the Giants retired the jersey of two-time Super Bowl MVP Eli Manning. The Denver Broncos improved 3-0 for the first time since 2016 with a 26-0 shutout of the Jets on Sunday. Wow, the football this season off to a fantastic start, air quotes. The Broncos sacked rookie Zach Wilson 5 times and intercepted him twice. They also forced the Jets to turn the ball over on downs 2 times. The victory could prove costly for the Broncos. Wide receiver KJ Hamler left the first half with a knee injury, and Denver lost with both of his starting guards to injuries after halftime. Over to baseball now, the Milwaukee Brewers clinched their second NL Central title in 4 years, beating those sloppy Mets 8-4 behind Willie Adames' 2-run homer and 3 RBIs. A day after New York was eliminated from postseason contention, the Mets lost for the 10th time in 11 games and were assured of a losing season for the fourth time in 5 years. And the only victory, Aaron Judge doubled in go-ahead runs to lead the Yankees to a 6-3 victory and a wild-card flipping 3-game sweep of the Red Sox. The Giancarlo Stanton followed with a two-run homer over the Green Monster and out of the ballpark to give the Yankees their sixth straight victory. Well, that's your sports at 15 and 45. Happy birthday, Juliet.
Thank you, everybody,
tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
All right, 547. Brandy Scott has all the latest traffic and transit information. How are things looking for my ride home to Staten Island, Brandy?
Well, we do have some minor slowdowns on the West Shore heading northbound, approaching Victory Boulevard. You're a little bit heavy there. You're going to see some delays by South Avenue. Otherwise, you've got a great ride getting onto the Staten Island Expressway. Nice and quiet heading outbound at the Verrazano on both the upper and lower decks. Looking good on the expressway westbound, moving toward the Gothels Bridge. Inbound George upper deck going to run you about 5 to 10 into the tolls. We've got a stall out there blocking a lane. No issues on the lower level right now. You're in great shape heading inbound at the Lincoln and Holland tunnels, and Mass Transit is on or close. This report is sponsored by Ensure Max Protein. Try great tasting Ensure Max Protein with 30 grams of protein, 1 gram of sugar, and nutrients to support immune health. More details at Ensure.com. I'm Brandy Scott on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandy. We will check back with you in a little bit. Also, we're going to give you the updated headlines, and we'll check in with Sid to tell us what's coming up on Bernie and Sid.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you. We have a couple headlines to get to. Just capping your headlines from earlier today, Republican mayoral nominee Curtis Sliwa showed up to judge the Feast of San Gennaro's meatball eating contest and was shunned. He was told he was too political to appear on stage, and he is now claiming that he feels the Gambino family and perhaps Bill de Blasio are behind this. Nothing to say?
I'm not saying that there's not some sort of entity from somebody that's keeping Curtis from judging this. But, I mean, Curtis is kind of implying that the mayor is in league with the Gambino family to prevent him from judging.
Oh, well, that's true. That's
the mayor is in league with the Gambino.
I mean, that's the way it sounds.
When did that happen?
No, I mean,
for years it's been that way. I was with Curtis at the feast on Friday night having a lovely dinner at Benito One with the Catsimatidis and everybody else. And I left, and about an hour later, right down the block from our restaurant, there was a major brawl.
I saw that.
Well, and Curtis and the Guardian Angels broke up.
They did.
They did. So, you know, kind of give him credit.
It was a rough couple days for Curtis at the feast.
Maybe you should stop going.
Stay home.
There. Exactly. All right. Well, a pair of Michael Jordan's used underwear is heading to a new home. TMZ reporting the light gray pair sold at Leland's auction Saturday night for $2,784. While the underwear had a dry cleaning tag attached to them, the auction listing says they show signs of definite use by the basketball legend.
Oh, jeez.
Ew.
Well, it sounds like maybe that they've been
used.
You know, worn. Like, you know, but they're worn down. Maybe that's what it is. Not that there's any sort of remnants or anything. By the way, a bartender was among two people stabbed outside a pub in the West Village early Sunday morning. So basically, yeah, like very late Saturday night by a drunk patron. Apparently it happened at Grace's Bar on West 14th Street near 8th Avenue around 4:15 a.m. The bartender and another guy rushed to help the security guard, but the customer pulled a knife, stabbing the bartender in the hand and the other man in the left side of his chest three times. Jeez, both victims were rushed to Bellevue Hospital. The second man is in critical condition. The attacker fled on West 14th Street. Yikes.
All right, let's check in with Sid Rosenberg. Get a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid Show. It was nice to see you on a Sunday.
It was nice seeing you, too. You and Juliet, you both look great. You are both great. By the way, happy birthday, Juliet. I think
you've
forgotten that if it's your birthday, it's somebody else's, too. Somebody I know pretty well.
It's your wife's birthday.
Bang, Danielle.
Yes.
52. Yeah, yeah.
Happy birthday. Wait, so we were born on the same exact day.
Same exact
1969.
Day. That's exactly
That's
right.
That's crazy. That's right. I forgot about that. Well, tell her I said congratulations and happy birthday.
I will. Happy birthday to both of you guys.
Thank you.
It was great seeing you both on Sunday, and now we're back at it on a Monday morning. Of course, every Monday morning at 7:25, National Review, Politico, NBC. Great way to wrap up your political weekend. The very talented Rich Lowry's going to stop by. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, Constantine Maroulis, and I imagine he'll talk about the Tonys last night and everybody bragging about how they got these fake vaccination cards. And I guess Moulin Rouge was the big winner last night. So we've got only two guests today because there's so much to talk about between the politics locally and nationally and a huge sports weekend down to the last season of last week, I should say, of regular season baseball. Yankees have picked a great time to get red hot, just swept Boston. And you've got all these great NFL games and a winless season so far in New York, where both the Jets and the Giants fell to 0-3 yesterday, and both looked pathetic in their defeat. So,
when was the last time both football teams were 0-3?
I think last year. I mean, it's like an annual thing now. It's not a big deal anymore. We suck. We can't play football in New York. So that's what we're looking at, guys. It'll be a busy, fun show today, and I'll recap the whole weekend, which included the feast with the station on Friday night. Sunday, of course, with you guys yesterday, and I've been invited by the great Angelo Vivolo, the head of the Columbus Day Committee. He's going to put me on Channel 7 with Maria and John and Joe Piscopo, I should say, at the Columbus Day Parade.
Great.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't even realize you were Italian.
I'm not.
Isn't
that,
that is great.
I have to put
Might
the
as
Loris,
well be.
I have to put Dolores on because she is Italian.
I see. Gotcha. Well.
But it's very cool that he actually called me and said, listen, you've been so great to the Italian-American community, and we appreciate all you. I mean, I was there in Central Park for that big, the big rally we put on with Arthur Idala, all those folks, that I may be the first Jew ever to be interviewed at the Columbus Day Parade. So that's a very exciting thing.
Well, and we got to give credit to Bernie as well. He's done a lot for the Italian people just by not being one. Thank you. All right. Stay tuned for the – I'm just joking, obviously. Bernie and Sid show from 6 to 10. You can hear Rich Lowry and Constantine Maroulis with his wrap-up of the Tonys. All right. Brandy Scott has your traffic and transit on the 7th at 5:57. So, Brandy, this is your last day with us, right?
Yep, just today. Joe will be back tomorrow.
Right, okay. Well, we will. It's been a fun hour. We'll look
Why
forward
is
to
Joe taking my birthday off, and I'm not taking my birthday off? That's what I want to know.
He had a charity golf outing.
Oh, okay. I forgive him.
Yeah.
He was doing charity outing.
It's true.
Oh, well. All right. What's happening? Is there anything bad happening on the roads? I hope not. It's very
well,
early.
Well, nothing awful. Nothing awful. Just some minor delays inbound at the George. About 15 minutes for the upper deck. We've got a stall mid-span taking out the left lane. Lower level, less than a five-minute ride. Inbound Lincoln and Holland tunnels, about 5 to 10 each. Not bad at all. We do have a collision on the Cross Bronx eastbound taking out a lane by Jerome. So far, a stop-and-go ride from the Deegan. BQE eastbound, very heavy heading over to the Brooklyn Bridge. Your typical delays there from the inbound Gowanus. Belt westbound picking up a bit of volume heading over to Farmers Boulevard from right after the Southern State. An alternate side is in effect today. This report is sponsored by Audible. This fall, Audible is the best place to listen for everything you're into. From comedy to motivation to the latest bestsellers, start listening for free when you sign up at audible.com. I'm Brandy Scott on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Brandy. Hope you have a good week. And Frank, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. I hope you enjoy your birthday, Juliet, and that all your wishes come true. And you get some nice gifts as well.
Well, I did make a little wish yesterday, and I do hope it comes true.
Oh.